Good morning. It's good to see you. It's a little cold out there this morning. It's kind of nice. Some of you don't like it. Some of us do. This week, I had to go to therapy again for my shoulder. I have done more physical therapy on this shoulder than I've done on anything in my life. I think my wife's happy. I don't too sure how I feel about it, but anyway, this week I wore a Glacier National Park t-shirt to therapy. Carol and I had the opportunity to go there for vacation several years ago. And I walk in and I'm doing my exercises. And there's a young therapist in there named Josh. He's a really nice young man. And he says, "Did you go to Glacier?" And I said, "Yeah," and I bought a t-shirt. And he says, "Tell me about the trip." And so I began to talk to him about Glacier, told him about the mountain goats, and we saw some grizzly bears. And he asked me this question. He says, "Did it change your life?" And I thought, I got a t-shirt. I got some cool stories. We ate some neat food. And yeah, I saw some cool creation, so maybe I think about God in a different way. But I don't know if the core of my being, if my life per se, was changed. I mean, we came back home and we lived in the same house. We worked at the same jobs and we went to the same church. We did the same thing. We had the same kids. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know what? I'm afraid that's the way a lot of people treat church. We're just like that. We're tourists. We come in on Sunday morning. We sit here 45 minutes. We like the music. We may even buy a CD because we think it's got cool songs and it reminds us. We don't want to forget. So maybe even we buy a t-shirt. Maybe we spend a little time. Maybe we come to a dinner. But it's really nothing more than a visit, because as soon as church is over, we race out of here. Some of us race, some stay for a while, and decide, and we go to where we want to go to eat. How many of you go? I mean, there's only so many places in Villarica, so if you eat in Villarica, you go to the same place all the time. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I can tell you where most of you will probably go to eat. We see me there, that's right. But that's the problem, is church is not a gift, it's not something we treasure, so when it comes to doing the things we've talked about, look, you don't understand, Billy, I just don't want to make that investment, it doesn't have the value, I'm not going to pray for my leaders and unity. Look, I'm a tourist here, I'm just passing through. And if we're going to do church membership in a biblical fashion, it has to be way more than being a tourist. It has to be way more than memories in a t-shirt, in a CD, in a little bit of time. And so I want to take you into Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can start turning there. And I just want to camp out in Ephesians 2 today. Because what happens here in Ephesians 2 is Paul begins to give these folks a picture of who they were outside of Christ, who they were when they were outside of the family of God, and who they are inside of Christ, and who they are when they are part of the family of God. And I think the reason that it's so easy for us to be a tourist is we really don't appreciate where we were before God stepped into our lives. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to Ephesians 2. I want to read just the first three verses just to start off here, because Paul starts by telling us where we came from, and listen to what he says. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which You used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Wow. Listen to what he says. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead. Not pretty good, not needing a better change, not needing a new place to hang out. You were dead in your transgressions and sin. You followed the ways of the world and of the ruler and of the kingdom of the air. You were led by the devil. That's what that means. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh. That's hard to think about. I felt really guilty. I've been working on this and thinking about this all week, and Carol's out of town seeing her mom and her sister, and I'm going to make a confession to you. I like bologna. Carol doesn't buy me bologna. It's not good for me. Carol's gone, and I went to the grocery yesterday and brought good old fashioned squishy white bread, which is terrible. Carol doesn't buy that for me either, and bologna. And this is going to sound really terrible to some of you, but I gave in to my cravings of the flesh, and I fried bologna in a frying pan last night and had fried bologna sandwiches. Oh, they were good. But what I'm getting across to you is, look, that's a funny joke, but guess what? With outside of Christ, before Christ brought grace into our lives, we live for the flesh. And as silly as it sounds that it would be baloney, in comparison to living for Christ, all the things we do outside of Him make about that much sense. And we were by nature deserving of wrath. By nature, deserving of wrath. How many of you like that idea? Does that feel comfortable? No. But that's who we were. Listen to what he tells us about our relationship with the family of God outside of Jesus. And I want to pick up in verses 11 and 12. We're going to kind of skip down back and forth right here in Ephesians 2. Listen to what he says. Therefore, remember... That therefore is meaning this is who you were before. Remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles, that's all of us, by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. We were sinners, living in our transgressions. We were without God and without hope. We were outsiders, foreigners. Excluded from citizenship. That's a harsh idea of who we were. But folks, that is exactly who we are outside of Christ. There is no place for us in the church if we're not believers in Jesus. The church is the family of God. It is believers, followers of Christ. And the reason it's so easy for us to take membership for granted is we really don't believe that we were ever what Paul describes us to be outside of Christ. We really don't look at ourselves. Look, we were pretty good people before we came to church, right? I mean, look, I'd never been to jail. I'd never been to prison. I'd never robbed anybody. I stole a candy bar from Bob Shires. My dad made me take it back. But what I'm saying is, see, we laugh about that stuff. And I get it. But the truth of the matter is, I was busting the doors down for hell until Jesus stepped into my life. There was no place for me in the family of God. I was an outsider, a foreigner. I didn't really even realize I needed church. Look, the only reason I ever came to church in the first place was a girl. I didn't know I needed Jesus. I came because a girl I liked was going. And I thought I could get a date. And I got Jesus. What a great trade. And see, if we're ever going to treasure the gift, we have to be serious about who we are outside of Christ. We have to understand that outside of Him, we are nothing. I remember when cell phones first came out. I swore I would never have a cell phone. I hated them. Then I got a flip phone. And it was kind of okay. And I thought, that's all I'll ever need. I'll never get a smartphone. There's no reason for them. And my kids got me a smartphone. First one. And I thought, this is horrible. The thing was beeping and blinking and making noise. And I said, I told Carol, I'm going to throw it in the ditch. And Billy finally pulled it out and he said, Dad, do you want to know why it makes those noises? I said, I'm not sure. And he said, let me show you. And he started teaching me how to use my smartphone. And all of a sudden, he started, and I said, I looked at him and I went, I never knew I was doing life without this. He's like, look, Dad, you can go online right here and get all the college football scores in one fell swoop right here, boom, in the palm of your hand. I said, uh-huh. Changed me. And see, what I'm afraid of is we don't, look, not only are we not sure of what we were before we came to Christ, we don't really have an idea of what this gift, being part of the body, is. See, I can't understand what I am if I don't understand where I was. And unless I'm truly honest about how ugly I was before Jesus stepped into my life and before grace penetrated my heart. And I think Paul understands this, so he gives this picture in Ephesians 2. He goes from, look, this is who you were outside of Christ, to this is, and outside of the family of God, to this is who you are inside of Christ. And now listen to the picture he gives us in verses 4 through 6 when he begins to tell us who we are inside of Jesus. Because he says this, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now listen to that picture. If I tried, can't give you what that says. I was dead in my transgressions, and by grace I have been saved. I am raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly realms. Do you understand that a teenage boy at 17 years old that came to church with blue jeans and boots because he didn't know what to wear to church, looking to get a date, that the Spirit of God penetrated his heart, and Jesus stepped into his life and filled him with grace, and that he raised him up out of his transgressions, and he seated him in the heavenly realms with Jesus. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for me. And that's what he does for each of us. And until we get that picture, then this will never be nothing more but tourists when it comes to church, because it's not that big of a deal. I have been saved by grace, raised up with Christ, seated in with Him in the heavenly realms. I am adopted into the family of God. Look, it is an amazing thing. There was no hope for people like me from the place I came from. Guys like me that were young, as Carol's mom described it one time, wild rednecks. I'm being honest. Look, that's what I'm saying. We were expected to go to work. There's a juice plant in my hometown. It was run by Minute Maid. Guys like me went to work at the juice plant. And we worked at the juice plant, or we worked in an orange grove for a man growing fruit. And you worked there all your life. You got married and you got divorced and you drank a lot of beer. And people said you were a pretty good old guy. And that was life. And Jesus stepped into my life and He transformed my heart. He brought grace in there. He adopted me into a new family, and there was hope for me in ways that I never could imagine. And that's what it means to be part of the family of God. That's what church means to me. It's hope. If you look in verses 14 through 19, and I just want to read this because it's I know it's a little lengthy, but it gives us a picture of what it means, our new relationship to the family of God inside of Christ. And listen to what he says. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier that the dividing wall of hostility." For me, that dividing wall, look, what it looked like in my community was the good kids and the bad kids. The church kids and the not church kids. For the Ephesians, it's the Jews and the Gentiles. He goes on in verse 15 to say, "By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of the household of God." Wow. That is my standing in Christ. I am a part of the household of God. I am no longer a stranger. I am no longer a foreigner. There is peace between those that had God and me, because now we all have God. Fellow citizens with God's people. Equal standing. For the Gentiles, this meant they had equal standing for the Jews. For me, it meant I was now equal to the good kids. I can remember when a young lady saying to me after I came to Christ, "Are you sure that you belong here?" And I said, "Absolutely. Jesus died for me. And He's my Savior." And see, that's what this means. We belong. Paul wanted them to know where they were and what it before Christ came into their lives and what they could be after He stepped into their lives. And we are now part of the household of God. Fellow citizens. That's what it means to be part of the church. You know, how many of you use the word household very often? It's kind of not a word that's in style in our vocabulary now. Household was meant that when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, that it was a place where you were cared for, loved. In other words, if you were part of a household, you lived under that the leader of that home, and that he cared for you and saw to your needs. And what it means is that if I am part of the household of God, that I live under His protection, under His care, that He is watching out for me, that He provides for me. That is our standing as Christians, as Christ followers. This thing we do that we call church is where we come for mission, for ministry, for mentoring. This is where it all comes together. And Paul is very clear because he wants them to know how they got there. Because he's taken these massively different groups of people and blending them together. And listen to what he says in verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In other words, everybody's now part of the family on the same basis. I'm not backing up because I didn't go to church all my life. For the longest time when I first came to Christ, I thought I had to do penance in church to get to be equal to all the people that went to church since they were this big. And finally the preacher said, no, we all got here the same way through Christ's death, His shed blood, grace. And since we all come by the same way, we all have the same standing. Just because I'm the preacher doesn't make me better than anybody else that comes here. Just because Nick leads music, he's not better than everybody else. We are all here for the same purpose, to do the mission of God. To do that mission, to be involved in ministry, to mentor one another. I grow from you. You teach me, I teach you. I can remember when I was a little kid, we used to go to the high school football games. And surprise, surprise, small town, high school football, Friday night, huge thing. You know any place like that? You know, everybody went there, okay? And they had a reserved seating area about the 50-yard line, you know, from the 40s. From each 40 across the 50. Way up, right below the press box, and it was reserved seating. What'd you have to have? You had to have a season pass. And I can remember going with my dad and going, well, why can't we sit in there? He says, because we don't have the right kind of tickets. And I go, what do you mean, Dad? We all bought tickets. I saw you pay for them. He said, yeah, but I don't buy the season tickets. And I don't get a ad in the program. And that was befuddling to me, that how you could all be fans, all be for one team, and you had different tickets, and because you bought a special ticket, you got to sit in the special spot. And that's the way we've done church, folks. You know, if you've been going there forever, if you were one of the people that went to church when you were this tall, well, you got a special seat, right? Because you got a special ticket. Right? Wrong. That's what Paul says. We're all part of one family. We all got the same ticket. The ticket was the blood of Jesus Christ. And outside of that, you have no entry. You cannot be part of the family. Outside of the blood of Christ, we are strangers. We are outsiders. We are dead in our transgressions. I can say that. We all came in the same way. for the same reason. And Paul gives us a picture, a purpose for this gift, that this part of being the family, in the family of God. And listen to what he says in verse 10. For we, that's all of us that are part of the church, are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to sit in a chair and to get a t-shirt and a CD and to run out and go to church, right? And go to lunch, right? That's what it says. I mean, that's what we do. Surely it has to say that somewhere. No, it says we are created to do good works, folks. That's what we're created for. That's what church is about. It's about putting the message of Christ in the street. It's about coming together on mission to share the glory of God. For ministry, that means physically doing it. And for mentoring, that I might learn from each other, that we might be better at that. And that is a gift, folks. It is a privilege to be a part of the family of God. You and I were created in Christ to do good works, and the vehicle to doing that is the church. Does that mean you have to be at church to do good works? No. That means that we come together as the body of Christ, encourage one another, and do good works here. There's good works that happen. We're going to pack boxes to send to kids. We're going to teach each other. We're going to go to Cookson Hills and serve some kids that don't have moms and dads that are active parts of their lives. I don't really know how to tell you to treasure a gift. Because, see, gifts are personal. The gifts that matter to you are personal. My wedding ring is personal. My watch is personal. Nothing special about this watch except my kids gave it to me. So I take extra special care of it. And until grace, it's personal with you until it penetrates your heart, then I'm afraid you're going to be a tourist at church. And it's amazing to me what people bring to share. So I brought a gift. I treasure this gift. This is a case. Double X Buffalo knife in its original case. It's really sharp, so I'm telling you up front, no kids can touch it. Especially yours, Nick. Jasper wants it, I know. It is beautiful. On the side of it is a picture of a buffalo. It has a P number on it, which is a big deal if you own a case knife. I never use this knife. I never even put it on a stone to sharpen it. Stays in this box in the corner of my dresser. You know why? A man by the name of Wayne gave me this knife. And I met Wayne eating breakfast at the Chick-fil-A. And we sat and ate breakfast and ate breakfast and we ate breakfast I don't know how many times. Come to find out, Wayne worked part-time at Temple Elementary School where our daughter was doing her student teaching. Wayne got colon cancer. And I ate breakfast with Wayne till Wayne couldn't eat breakfast anymore. Then I'd just go to Wayne's house and sit. And one day I went to Wayne's house and this box was sitting by his chair. And he said, Billy, I got something for you. I said, Wayne, I came to bless you. You got this all wrong. And he says, no, I got a gift for you. And he gave me this knife. He said, Billy, I want you to have this knife. It's special to me. And I said, well, Wayne, it ought to go to one of your kids. He said, no. He said, it won't be special to them. He said, I wish that you would take it and treasure it. And then he said, maybe when you pass, you could give it to Holly. Because I really thought the world of her. And see, I treasure the gift, not because the knife is special. You can buy one of these knives on eBay for about $170, $180. Maybe not in this good a condition, but you can buy one. But I treasure the gift because it represents a relationship that's personal to me. And that's what Paul is writing to us about in Ephesians. He's saying, look, church is the outward representation of a personal relationship with Jesus. And we can't as the body. There is nothing more destructive that we do to the cause of Christ than to take the gift of church membership, this thing that Jesus laid down His life for. And when we take it for granted, we discredit this relationship in ways that there's not really words to explain. And I know that this is kind of a heavy sermon, but it's all right, we need to hear this. Because it's real, and it's the thing that's going to change church. Is when the people of God treasure the gift. So I challenge you this morning, take what we've talked about. Take this idea of unity. Take this idea of praying for each other. Take this idea of preference. See, it's summed up in this idea of the treasuring of the gift. And treasure the gift of church membership. Because it costs the lifeblood of Jesus. Because without it, we're foreigners. We're separated from God. So let me ask you a question as I close. What are you doing with your church membership? What are you doing with your church membership? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You.